Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, we welcome in star of the new hit comedy series, St. Dennis Medical. It's on NBC Tuesdays, 8, 7 Central, David Alan Greer. David, been a fan of yours for a long time. We appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Tell us a little bit about this new hit comedy.
Well, I'm in it. It's funny, and it hasn't been canceled, so that's
there you go.
Good.
There you go. Sounds like a hit. Is that all it takes these days?
Yeah, man, because I've been in more than one show, which after about three or four episodes, I start getting calls and messages like, well, we just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
I liked it, and hey, glad we reconnected, all that kind of stuff. So the response to St. Dennis has been very, very positive, and I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it because I like the show. I like my character, and I like the cast.
That's all. Well, we like you. And I'm curious, because I've heard this from a lot of different performers, even musicians, when they drop a certain song or an album back in the day. Like, sometimes what you think is going to be amazing, it just fizzles out, and what you have no hope for absolutely turns into something iconic. I mean, that's pretty much true for you,
always, too,
right?
Always. I remember when the pilot for In Living Color was an hour, and although I thought it was really funny, and it was really fun to do, I never for a minute thought that it would be picked up because it was just too wild. And I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I was wrong. And for a lot of that, when you create something, the best projects I've ever been involved with have been ones in which you stay true to your dream, your belief, what you're trying to accomplish in this script, and you just lay it out there. Either people dig it or they don't. I mean, but when you try to create something, especially comedy, along the lines of, I think I know what males between 18 and 25 with the median income of such and such in America are going to like, no, that never works. Just be true to yourself and throw it out there, man. See what happens.
Yeah, and David, you've done a ton of different things. One of my personal favorites was Blank Man. I love that. I think it's underrated comedy. Great movie. But you mentioned In Living Color. Do you still, like, even however many years later, we're talking 30 years later, is that the number one thing you still get recognized for your work from In Living Color?
For the most part, but that's fine. I'm not, like, you know, bitter Shakespearean dude, you know, saying everybody's calling me radar. No, I've gone on to do a lot of other things, but it's for a lot of people, that's where they first came to know me. And I love that show. I'm proud of its legacy. I've never thought people would still be talking about it. I mean, there was no social media when Living Color went on. There's no Twitter, X, IG, nothing. So, no YouTube. So I just figured, you know, we would have about, I would have about maybe 2 years to headline small clubs doing stand-up after the show was canceled, and then it was just back to being, you know, an itinerant actor. I really did not think about the possibility in the future of the children of the people who are the original fans of In Living Color having the ability to press a button and you can bring up any sketch from any year. You can find it online and just immediately, boom, this is what we used to watch. So I didn't anticipate any of that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, by the way, you mentioned no social media back then, back in the day. Probably you're lucky some geek would have tried to cancel you guys.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was just, because I remember people could fax. And, you know, fax was state-of-the-art back in 80-something. But, you know, you could fax, you could call a station, or you could write snail mail, whether you approved or disapproved. So it was just not immediate. You know, in today's environment, you tell a joke, you make a statement, you do a post, and immediately that is worldwide, whether you like it or not. And people comment immediately. So it was a different landscape.
Well, you know, I want to get into the big Michigan sports fan. Obviously, you're from the great state of Michigan. We could get to that as well. David Allen Greer with us here, BT and Sal. But because you started to open up the comedy aspect, like, how much do you incorporate that into what you put out there, the backlash? Let's face it, Richard Pryor could say stuff, and Andrew Dice Clay could say stuff, and Eddie Murphy could do his thing, and it's a little different in 2024. Do you factor that in as much or no?
No, I mean, you know, I'm going to say what I'm going to say and let it ride.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not, you know, the dude, you know, my comedy doesn't consist of eating small, cute infants or running, you know, yeah, running little bunny rabbits over with a truck. So I think I'm good.
That's so funny. Yeah.
I mean, I've been in clubs where I worked and on venues where the opening or the middle, basically their whole set was apology. You know, I was on the bus and I saw this old lady. I mean, I like women. I'm not against old people. I say, dude, say the joke, man. You don't have to apologize before you say the joke.
Yep.
Just tell the joke.
Mm.
You know, again, you just kind of, there is a risk factor. And some people say things just to shock. Some people post things just for the attention, but I'm trying to make people laugh. I'm trying to make people think and be entertained. When you put a piece of art, and I say that loosely, out, and someone watches it, and they're calling their friends and family, you need to watch this so we can talk about it, and it generates conversation and more conversation. Did you see that thing I told you? What wasn't it? That's good. So that's the lane I'm trying to be in.
BT and Sal, we're talking with David Allen Greer, who's playing Ron in the new NBC comedy St. Dennis Medical. BT mentioned it before, David, big Detroit sports fan. How about your Lions? They used to be the joke. All of a sudden, now they're the talk of the NFL.
Listen, I have an extended family. We're on pins and needles. It looks good. My fingers are crossed. We going to that Super Bowl, man. That's what I believe. We're going to that Super Bowl, and I'm going to tell you something else, man. What was more satisfying that after the year that University of Michigan had with the Wolverines to beat Ohio State the way we beat them?
Yeah.
People don't understand. There's two teams you got to beat. You got to beat Ohio State, and you got to beat State. If Michigan lost every game but beat Ohio State and Michigan State, that's a successful season.
You're not lying. Listen, I lived out in Detroit. I was in the suburbs. I was in Troy. It was my second radio job.
Yeah.
So I was only there 2 years, but I got a great sense of the mindset. And, of course, the Bad Boys won championships, and the Red Wings have won, and Alan Trammell won a championship. The Lions have never won. You seem to be counter, because most fan bases that haven't won, they're like, oh, I don't know if we're going to get there. You're straight up saying, we're going. So is that...
No, we're going.
Do you really believe that, or are you trying to convince yourself?
No, man. It's right there. It's right there. You know, usually the Lions are the ugly duckling, and it's like an ugly girl that you done took out on a blind date, and you squinting your eyes going, well, I mean, her eyebrows look cute. Nuh-uh. The Lions have a record that legitimizes our excitement. And I'm going to tell you something else. If they wind up in the Super Bowl with Kansas City, they're going to beat them, because Kansas City has been winning. They have been winning, but it's been by the hair on my chinny chin chin. A whole lot of luck. Whole lot of luck.
Will you be there?
We'll see what happens in the Super Bowl.
Will you be there, David? Are you one of these guys that, like, I feel like Eminem, who was at the NFC Championship game last year in San Francisco representing Detroit and the Lions, he needs to be there at the Super Bowl, assuming they make it. Will you be there if they do make it, go to the Super Bowl?
I made a pledge to my brother that we are going. Although I will tell you this, I've been to Super Bowls before. It's a lot better to watch the Super Bowl at home. But this constitutes the necessity of supporting the Detroit Lions, because I am 68 years old. And as long as I've been alive and kicking, I do not remember the Lions being this good.
Well,
correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I don't think we need to correct you. The only really place in history was where you guys got to the NFC Championship game, I want to say in 91 with Barry, Wayne Fonts, that crew, Herman Moore. But it's been a minute, yeah. Buddy. It's been a minute.
No, it's been a minute. It's been a minute. And I also feel like the Lions, what happened last year, it was a rehearsal for this year. It was a rehearsal for this season. So they are poised and ready, and let's go get that bad boy. I swear to God, man, if the Lions win the Super Bowl, y'all really going to get sick of me, man.
David, last one for me. We appreciate your time. I just happened to watch last night, my wife put it on, the Netflix special that Jamie Foxx has coming out, and he talks about his scary situation. Where were you? I know you obviously worked with him on In the Living Color. You guys have done other shows together. I'm assuming you're great friends. How did you handle all that when he was kind of out of the spotlight? Were you able to see him? Take me through what happened there with Jamie's serious injury.
No, man. I called, and I kept in communication with his extended team and family, but I had little or no breaking news. I wasn't like I was at home thinking or knowing, oh, Jamie's going to be fine, but this is just the press. No, man, there was a point where I was really preparing for his demise emotionally because it just seemed dire. It seemed dire, and nobody knew. Nobody had any information. I did know that he had had a stroke, but I didn't know to what extent. You know, the rumors were so crazy. I'm just happy and thankful that he is back and thriving and making jokes about it, because it could have gone another way. And he talks about that in the special. So I'm relieved and thankful. I know I'm going to see Jamie and give him a big hug, man, because, whew, Lord, that was scary.
You still talk to a lot of the cast from In Living Color, Jim Carrey, the Wayans brothers?
Some people are getting depositions, sir. They're getting served. Ooh.
Name names.
Yeah. Oof.
I'm just kidding.
Are you? Are you sure? What?
They're getting served, okay? Depositions. Oh, man, it's cool, man.
Oh, man, nuts, dude.
I mean, I don't really have beef like that. But it's like, you know, running into old schoolmates. And it's always fun. It's always fun to run into them. I mean, probably the most fun I had post In Living Color, a few of us went on tour together. Me, Tommy, Keenan, Sean, a couple of others, and did on a stand-up tour. And that was really, really fun. I love seeing those guys and talking about what we used to do. I still can't believe we got away with it.
It's going to be around forever, man. I mean, that's the imprint that you guys left. So, listen, great to have you on. Best of luck to the Lions. That's David Allen Greer.
Hey, man. Go Lions.
All right, man. Happy holidays, buddy.
All right, man. Take care.
Yes,
thank you, David. That was great.
Good dude.